بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم productive Muslims and welcome to another interview with a productive Muslim. Last month I had the pleasure of interviewing a very famous doctor in Saudi Arabia. His name is Dr. Waleed Al-Fatahi. He is the head and CEO of the IMC, a very futuristic, amazing hospital. Very rarely people describe hospitals as somewhere amazing to be. But really, if you go to this hospital, you'll notice there's something different about his hospital. It's almost built on the Andalusia style with this beautiful Islamic calligraphy and strong Islamic ethos. And this man was a man of vision. He also leads a lot of programs in the Arabic world. Programs talk about current issues, social issues, and issues that talk about deen and how deen help us become, you know, can be part of our lives. So I was very excited to interview him and hear his thoughts on what is productivity and how he defines productivity and what advice he has for us to become more productive Muslims. So inshallah, now we're going to hear Dr. Waleed Al-Fatahi, and the first question I asked him is, how do you define productivity and how can someone become more productive?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I would like to talk about what are the factors which helps us become more productive. The first thing I would like to start with is creating the right intention. Unfortunately, we were not taught in school how to create our intentions, how do we correct our intentions. One of the great writers, his name is Wayne Dyer, has a book called The Power of Intention. And he says, if I remember it correctly, that there's only one source of power. And all we do in life is trying to purify our intention to be worthy for that power to pass its power through us. So creating an intention is not anything that we learn in school, unfortunately, although it's the most important thing. Nobody taught you how to create your intention. Creating an intention requires that you learn how to dive in and expose yourself to yourself. Once you have this pure intention, the whole universe will conspire with you. I always say, I wish, the same way we have a watch in our left hand, we have a compass on our right hand. I call it the intention compass. And before we start doing any work, the same way we look at the watch to make sure that we are on time, I wish we have this compass to look at it and find out whether our work, our deed, we're starting, is pointing up to heaven, not to earthly matters. So the creating of intention, I believe, is the most important factor for a person to become productive.
Excellent. Okay? Excellent.
Number one. Mm-hmm. Now, once you have this intention and you learn how to create this intention, something magical happens. First of all, you will have more energy. I believe, like some of the scholars, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, He ordered our extremities, our senses, to obey the person in those who orders this. And they did, they had no choice but to follow the orders of God. But they do obey us, because they have no choice. If they have the choice, they would not, because they don't want us to force them to do sins. Mm. So if you have a good intention, What happens to your senses?
It follows you.
That follows you. They actually push you to do work. Okay, they give you the energy. Move, do it. But if you have the bad intention, what happens to your senses?
Trying to resist.
Exactly, try to resist, and that's why they ask you even to sleep. Go and sleep. Okay. So that's number one. The intention. There are so many people who organize life around them, and they forget to organize things inside them. So that's number one. The power of intention, learning how to create our intention, and verify our intention, that's number one.
Excellent. Second part, you said about the first part of intentions, you said the second thing?
The second thing after the intention is the way we look at life. Okay. If you change the way you look at things, then things you look at will definitely change. I have so many topics, articles and videos talk about the optimism the positive way of looking at things, and how this positive way of looking at things will attract positiveness to you. And that's in our Quran. In the Quran, in Hadith, always says that, for example, if something goes wrong, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَوْ شَيْءٌ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. You think something bad, but there might be something good in it. تَفَاءَلُوا بِالْخَيْرِ تَجِدُوهُ. Be optimistic all the time. Study shows that those who think positive, they attract positive things in life. Okay? It becomes self-fulfilling prophecies. Okay? So number two, the way you look at life, you could always look at life in a positive way. And our Prophet Muhammad and all the prophets were examples of that. Always look at the positive and believe that at the end of the day, God is there to support you. Number three is that the most beautiful thing in our religion is Allah is going to reward you for what? For the right intention and doing the work good. So in other words, all the frustrations that could face those who do not see the results and the fruits in life, you should be protected from that. Because simply, even if the fruits do not show up today, it's okay because you've been rewarded already with the right intention and with the doing the right well. That's why there's a beautiful hadith says, إِذَا قَامَتِ السَّاعَةَ وَفِي يَدِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَسِيلَةً فَاسْتَطَاعَ أَلَّا يَقُومَ إِلَّا يَغْرِسَ فَلْيَغْرِسَ فَلَهُ بِذَلِكَ أَجْرٌ. The Prophet said, there is a hadith that says the meaning, if the day of judgment came and you have a seed in your hand, then go ahead and plant it. Now, you know that's going to give you fruit. It's okay because Allah is going to reward you for putting the seed, not for the fruits. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Sayyidina Ibrahim, وَأَذِّن بِالنَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, go and call for prayer. He was in the desert. Nobody to hear him. He said, عَلَيْكَ الْأَذَانُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْإِجَابَةِ. You do the call, but the results of that is not it's our job, it's not your job. Okay? And that's why we call it al-ijabiyya. And you always look on the positive side. Do you know who is the first prophet who was mentioned in the Quran? Of course, Prophet Muhammad did not know the prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran taught Prophet Muhammad the other prophets. Was it Sayyidina Ibrahim, the father of all the prophets, who deserved to be the father of the three divine religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam? No. Was it Sayyidina Musa? And most of the Quran, almost Musa? No. Was it Sayyidina Isa, the word of God, the miracle? No. Was it Sayyidina Sulaiman, who was giving, Allah gave him so much in life and power that he gave nobody? No. Who was the prophet? The first prophet who was mentioned in the Quran was Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam. Mm. Why? Because there was a lesson to be learned. Mm. Sayyidina Yunus was different from all other prophets in two things. He was the only prophet who decided to give up and left his post, left his responsibility. And he is the only prophet where all his people became believers. Isn't this ironic? What is the lesson to learn there? The lesson is that how could Sayyidina Nuh, who is the considered the father of all the prophets, who kept calling his people for almost 1,000 years, and only a few people became believers with him. And Sayyidina Yunus, who gave up, all his people became believers. The message, it's not up to you. However, when Allah mentioned Sayyidina Yunus, Sayyidina Muhammad, he said, وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ. Do not become like your fellow, said Prophet Yunus, who gave up his post, and he ended up in the bottom of the sea, inside the whale. Don't make the mistake, Prophet Muhammad. Be always positive. Don't ever be negative. What got Sayyidina Yunus out of the whale? One word. إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. I committed injustice. How could you commit injustice, Yunus? You are the prophet who called his people and they did not listen. You went to the ship, they threw you in the water, and the whale swallowed you. How could you be unjust? Because injustice has so many faces. Negativity is injustice. Leaving your post of responsibility, injustice. Wondering and asking, how could one person change the world is injustice. Not accepting a situation which required to be changed is injustice. There is a difference. Not only the person who is committing the crime is unjust, but those who accept and become silent and passive and do not resist and do not change are also committing injustice. So this is the lesson that is in the Quran, al-ijabiyya, to be positive. I think with the intention, with the looking positive to everything around you and doing the actual work, deed. Sayyidina Umar was an example. He wasn't a man who talks about theory, okay? Hard worker. That's why when the Quran came, it came to people in Arabia who had one factor which was an obstacle for any progress. All civilizations, when they are faced with hardship, it basically stimulate in them what we call the need for challenge. So most civilizations started with hardship. But in Arabia, that hardship over the desert did not make the Arabs catch up with other civilizations. Do you know why? They have one factor which was an obstacle. That factor was they would ihtiqar al-amal al-yadawi. They would despise any kind of work by hand. Farming, carpentering, any kind of working with by hand, they look at it as if it's degrading. That's why they call it al-mihna, al-mihan, al-imtihan. They only work with merchandise, not even manufacturing, as agents. ما يغذي ما يسمى شرف الكسل واحتقار العمل. Then the Quran came. Now the Arabs used to call the only the slaves, give them the word أفلح من الفلاحة, because only the and the Quran came and it's all the verses talks about work. قد أفلح المؤمنون الزارعون, the farmers, the talks about the prophets as farmers, talks about working with the hand, even God خلقتُكَ بيدي. So all those were different terms for Arabia. So it changed the mentality. And work became the highest form of worshipping to God is by working. سُجُودُ الْقَلْبِ وَالْجَوَارِحِ فِي مِحْرَابِ الْحَيَاةِ. Okay? This is the highest, the ultimate. And not only work. When the work متعدي المصلحة والمنفعة, the work which helps others, have even higher deed. لا يمشي أحدكم في حاجة أخيه خير له من أن يعتكف في المسجد هذا. To walk with your fellow human being and help him or help her is more aggregate, much higher to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than to go and pray in the masjid, even if it's the masjid of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With those factors, how you could not have a person who walks and is resistant to any kind of frustration is difficult. And these are just only a few factors for this case of the interview. But actually, I have a lecture of 3 hours talk about the factors which the Quran had put to build the human being which reached you. By the way, all civilizations, all miracles from Adam alayhi salam until Sayyidina Muhammad were miracles to challenge the mind, defeat the mind, and then has no choice but to believe. عصاتٌ تسعى, the stick of Musa turns into a snake. بحرٌ يشق, موسى عليه السلام opened the sea. عيسى يحيي الموتى, a dead person, عيسى will make him alive. So all of these talks to the senses, to challenge the mind, defeat the mind, cannot explain it, and then become a believer. But the miracle of Islam is different. What is the miracle of Islam? When I ask people, they say it's the Quran. I say, if you put the Quran in front of you for 100 years and watch it, it will do nothing. The true miracle is not the Quran. The true miracle is the ability of this Quran to go inside this mind of the human being and brings the miracle of that human being. The true miracle in Islam is you and me, if we want it to be. The difference is that all those miracles are only for that moment, but the moment is gone. But the miracle of the Islam has to be a continuous miracle, a miracle that could always be brought again, but it's linked with our ability, intention to bring it back. If we allow this Quran to fill us, then we'll have the miracle. It's the only civilization in the history of mankind which was able to change a human being from a desert to become the center of the world in only 20 years. All other civilizations took hundreds of years except for this one. So the miracle is you and me if we allow it to be. And if we allow this Quran to fill us and move from that point on.
I want to bring the discussion back to the challenges of productivity. Someone comes and says, a lot of people come to us and say, I feel lazy, I feel like I can't be bothered. How do you overcome that to get them started? This is great when you already want to move, we have that, you know, you have the activity. But some people come like, I just can't be bothered, I just don't care. Especially on the youth who just have given up almost.
Yeah. Well, remember that we human beings are spirit of God and Amod. Now, the Spirit of God, just imagine how powerful this is. If this Spirit of God becomes covered by the mud, then the human being becomes just simple, weak. But if you allow this Spirit to become the biggest part of you and make sure the mud becomes only what it's required for you to live, is only a container, then something amazing will happen to you. It's not about doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I do have lectures and I have videotapes about stress management and how to bring the best out of you. But I realized all the skills, all the teachings, all the instructions are nothing but tools, and they will not work unless there's a key that will tap into the soul and allow it to be free. It's a trigger of that spirit. And if that spirit is not alive, there is no skill in the world, no degree in the world, no workshop in the world that will change you. You will always look at the world as negative. Einstein says one wonderful thing. He said, the most important question you have to ask yourself in your life, are you living in a loving, caring world, or are you living in a vicious world? Because if you believe, whatever you believe, you will make out of your life. Okay. So my advice to those who really want to get the energy out of them, search for that spirit. Sayyidina Ali had a wonderful saying. It's poetry, but it's in Arabic.
No problem. Yeah, I'll try translating. No worries.
It's a wonderful poetry. He says, دواءك فيك وما تشعر وداءك منك وما تبصر وتحسب أنك جرم صغير وفيك انطوى العالم الأكبر وأنت الكتاب المبين الذي وأنت الكتاب المبين مش القرآن أنت وأنت الكتاب المبين الذي بأحرفه يظهر المضمر فلا حاجة لك في خارج ليخبر عنك بما سطر.
Just pausing the interview so I can give you a translation of what Dr. Waleed said. So the poetry of Ali ibn Talib goes like this in English. Your remedy is within you, but you do not sense it. Your sickness is from you, but you do not perceive it. You presume you are a small entity, but within you is enfolded the entire universe. You are indeed the evident book, by whose alphabet the hidden becomes the manifest. Therefore, you have no need to look beyond yourself. What you seek is within you if only you reflect.
So the whole world is inside of you. The problem is God gave each one of us a gift. And in the day of judgment, he's going to ask you for your own copy. أين نسختك؟ Unfortunately, we're suffocating this voice. How many persons we killed in the Arab world, in the Muslim world? How many Walt Disney we killed? How many talented people we told them, no, this is not the right profession for you. You have to go into medicine or engineering or law, whatever. How many we killed? Each one, Einstein says something wonderful. He says, every person is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing it's stupid.
Brilliant.
And what is genius? Addison, who had more than 1,000 inventions, he says innovation is 1% enlightenment and 99% hard work. Even Mozart, even Beethoven, they spend hours. Now, there's a rule called the 20,000-hour rule. And you can read in the book Outliers for Malcolm Gladwell. Now, what is the 20,000-hour rule? The rule is the following. God gave you a gift. First, discover the thing that you are good at. There are so many multiple intelligences. Gardner came with a theory that there are what we call multiple intelligences. Unfortunately, schools, they teach you either intelligent in language or in math. And if you are other than that, you will think all your life that you're not good at school. But they do ignore all kind of intelligences. Social intelligence, emotional intelligence, musical intelligence, physical intelligence, spatial intelligence. All of these different kind of intelligences. Find your intelligence. If you find your intelligence and you put the 20,000 hour, there is no choice but you're going to start seeing signs of being a genius. Genius is not something you're born with. And I had one video I've done about a man who Al-Majar, from Majar, and who wants to prove that genius is taught. So he made his three girls, taught them from day number one chess games, to become three of them the top three players in the world. Okay. Champions. Okay? So if you want to become a genius, by the way, you have no choice in life. Either you become a follower, a mediocre, or become genuine and genius. There is nothing between, by the way. Success is one thing, and become a genius in something else. You can push yourself to do something you don't like. You might even succeed a little bit. But when you choose the one thing that God gave you the gift for, work no longer becomes work. It becomes so enjoyable that it's easy to put the 20,000 hour. But I must warn you, there's a trick about this 20,000 hour. Study shows not anybody can put the 20,000 hour, even if you do the things you love. The 20,000 hour, or the ability to sit and work, unfortunately, is something developed, not born with. Children are impatient. The patience is actually a skill required to become a genius, and unfortunately, it's learned in early life. When you force yourself to sit for hours and hours to perform tasks, if you don't learn it early on in life, you'll have difficulty. So the key, discover yourself, number one, and number two, put the 20,000 hour in the things you like to do. That's why always Socrates keeps saying, and Plato, discover yourself.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you very, very, very much. I know you have a very busy schedule.
It's okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
And
if you have anything else, what?
I think the only thing, maybe the two questions is who inspires you and why?
Who
inspires you?
Okay. There's any answer other than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam means a person doesn't know this man. If any man, any human being knows Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam really well, it's difficult to choose anybody else to be the model. I mean, even those non-Muslims, when they write the greatest men alive, and he put Prophet Muhammad as number one and number two. So, please If you think the answer other than Prophet Muhammad, please go back and learn more about this man, because you don't know him.
And that was it. That was the interview with Dr. Walid Al-Fatahi, a very inspiring figure and a true productive Muslim that we've learned a lot from. I encourage you to visit his website and to visit and read some of his articles and watch his videos. They're very, very inspiring, and they can tell you a lot about how to live in a more positive way and to live more productively. Hope you enjoy this interview. This is Abu Productive. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.